put your head in between the one and the nine.
Here we got Parakalaposakas. So the last thing that we spoke about was that Nami left the land of Mayav, and when the tzaddik leaves a place, that makes an impression. So we spent some time elaborating on the impression that the tzaddik makes when they leave. Batayim and Nami said l'shtei kalasel to her two daughters-in-law. So here the Torah again is calling them her daughters-in-law. Nami considered them her daughters-in-law. Nami was Jewish. Nami was from. Nami knew the halachas, and she's calling them her daughters-in-law. Leichna, go. Shavna, return. Ishala beis ima, each woman to her mother's house. They should go to her mother's house. Yaaseh, or the way you read it is Yaas. It's spelled Yaaseh, but you read it as if it's spelled Yaas. Hashem Yimachem Chesed, God should do Chesed with you, Kasher Asisim Yimameitzim, just like you did Chesed with the dead, with her dead sons, Yimadim with me. So she is blessing them. The Kadosh Baruch Hu should grant them chesed just like they did chesed to their Jewish husbands. They're very strange words coming out of the mouth of a Jewish mother to the Gentile women who brought about the death of her sons by marrying them. You know, if we view this, this entire story is that you had two Gentile girls that entrapped two nice Jewish boys, and Hashem got angry at the Jewish boys and killed them off. So why is Nami saying that they deserve chesed from Hashem? They deserve chesed for Hashem for all the chesed that they did with the Mason V'Imadi. Very strange words. So, you know, the Mepharshim say that they were Goyim. But the Pasuk says otherwise. We're going to keep at this until we get some kind of understanding. The Moshe David Vali has an interesting remez on this pasuk.
What was the last name?
Rav Moshe David Vali, Vav Vav Aleph Lamed Yud. She blesses them, Ya'as Hashem Yimachem Chesed. Hashem should grant you Chesed. That's the way it's pronounced, but it's spelled Ya'aseh. Yud Ayin Sin Hey. Every time there's a Kriya Niksiv that's spelled one way and read another way, you have to ask yourself the question why. We don't always have access to the reason behind it, but Rav Moshe David Vali in this case does give us a reason. Did you pronounce it as Ya'as because she meant to say Ya'as? But it's spelled Ya'aseh because the rem is in the word Ya'aseh. So even though you don't pronounce it, but that's the way it's spelled. Ya'aseh is Begematria 385.
Ya'aseh?
Yud 10, Ayin 70, Sin is 300, and Hey is 5. 385. And that's the same Gematria as the word Shechina. Shechina is the word that's used to describe the Kadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with the world when he dwells among us. The Kadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world in multifaceted manners. There are sometimes he relates to the world as a God upon high, observing but not being observed, somewhat removed, somewhat detached. Sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world in Hester Panim. That's not good for us. But that is sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu does relate to the world in a way that we don't see his presence. It's not evident. Things appear random. And that's Kadosh Baruch Hu if he ever interacts with the world, it's Lamala Midaraka Teva. Kadosh Baruch Hu will do a miracle and you'll see him, but then after the miracle is over, so then his presence disappears. That relationship we'll call the relationship of Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world from Shemayim, as if he's in Shemayim, beyond. We'll call that relationship Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, and when the Pasuk uses that name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's describing their relationship.
What, that is interacting with directly?
From Shemayim. No, from Shemayim. Sometimes his interaction seems as if it's coming from elsewhere. Oh. It's coming down into this world in a way that doesn't relate to this world. Oh. When Hashem splits the sea, he's relating to the world from Shemayim. That's otherworldly. It's ethereal. And then there's other times that a Kadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world in a worldly fashion. For example, through nature.
Well, what coincidences, man?
It's Haskacha Pratus, you mean. There's no coincidences. Right, so that's, you know, that's in this world. Right. That's Bedarcha Teva, the Shekhina, in the Beis HaMikdash. Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence was sensed on a regular basis. It wasn't like a one-time shot. The blessing for the world came from the Beis HaMikdash, the entire world, not just for the Jewish world. The Medrash says if the Goyim would have realized that the life force of the entire world came from the Beis HaMikdash, then they never would have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Instead, they would have set up guards around it to protect it. The Goyim that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they were cutting their own throat. So that's the Shekhinah. Shekhinah means to dwell among us. And Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is another type of relationship that's from Shemayim.
What's that relationship called, the second one?
Shekhinah. Shekhinah and Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Nami was telling them, Ya'aseh Hashem. Ya'aseh Hashem. Ya'aseh is the same gematria as Shekhinah, and Hashem is Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. So she was giving them two choices. She was telling them they don't have to come back with her to Eretz Yisrael, they don't have to convert. Because you could have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu here on earth. You could have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu B'derech HaTeva. There's no need to become a Ben Yisrael. There's no need to become otherworldly. There's no need to rise up to the level of a Ben Yisrael. So you could have a higher relationship with Hashem. You could stay firmly grounded. Hashem dwells everywhere, even on earth. And they don't have to be Megayer because they want to have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The path is paved to heaven, even by staying within the confines of this world. Keep the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Nayach. Says Yas says Begmatri Shekhinah, and then she says Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. She says she's being Meramish. She's alluding to the dual relationships that one could have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you're going to see this is the upcoming Pesukim. There's going to be a clear, outright message, and then there's going to be subscript, a meta message, undertones. She's, she is leaving open the doorway, the gate to Geiris, and at the same time, she's not forcing the issue, she's allowing them other options, and, she's actually pushing them away. But while she's pushing them away, but there's always that little catch at the end that yes, I'm pushing you away, but there's room for you to come and convert.
How do we see the first relationship you gave up? Okay.
It says Ya'aseh Hashem. So Ya'aseh is Begmatri Shekhinah and Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's in the Pasuk. She said Ya'aseh Hashem. It's a remez. Chazal point out from this Pasuk and in Pasuk Yud Aleph and in Pasuk Yud Beis, she pushes them away. In this Pasuk she's pushing them away. In Pasuk Yud Aleph she's pushing them away. In Pasuk Yud Beis she's pushing them away. So Chazal derived from this Pasuk that you're supposed to push away a potential ger three times. If after three times she still wants to be Megayah, you're Mekabelim. This Chazal is evidence that they weren't Jewish. Mm-hmm. If they were Jewish when they married Bachlan and Kilian, then why is she pushing them away? Why would you push away some of the Jewish? You don't push away Jewish people.
Why did she call them daughters?
Have you learned it?
You have a problem. What? If you learn out from here the laws of Geirus that you're supposed to push a potential convert away three times, then that means that they weren't Megaya yet. They weren't converted yet.
Who did she push away?
Her two daughters-in-law, Rus and Orpah. So you see, we have apparent contradictions. She's calling them her daughters-in-law. Hashem's going to do them chesed in return for their chesed. And at the same time, we're learning Hilchos Geirus. There's a lot on this pasuk. Lechna shayvna. Go and return. So Pashup Shada, she's telling them to go twice. But there's a hidden meaning in the word lechna. This is from the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh. Lechna could mean to go. But lechna could also mean to accompany. Lelechet. Lechna could be to accompany. So the Al-Sheikh was saying that the outward meaning was that they should go home to their mother. But she chose the word lechna to be meramis, to hint to them that the possibility of accompanying her also exists. So she used a word that had a dual meaning, to go and to accompany. Ben Ishchai said that she told him to go back to their mother's house. And he raises the issue. Why did he tell them to go to their mother's house? Why not to their father's house? He said to their father's house would be mashma. It would have the connotations of going back to their Avodah Zarah. The father's house would mean to go back to the Avodah Zarah of the fathers. That's, you know, Avodah Zarah is always affiliated with the fathers. They're the ones that are dominant force in the household. It's their religion that's taken upon the members of the household. And if she would have told them to go back to the father's house, saying to be mashmah, she's saying, okay, don't be a megayer, you could still remain Ayiv Avodah Zarah. The Ben Ish Chai said that, you know, you can't, you're not allowed to send someone to Avodah Zarah. How could you send someone to Avodah Zarah?
Aren't also the men like the rebellious ones, like they rebel?
Yeah, they're more proactive. She was sending them to the mother's house. Ben Ish Chai says that she was blessing them. She was saying, Hashem will surely bless you, but on condition. Only on condition that you don't go back to your idolatrous ways, to Avodah Zarah. Go to your mother's house. Don't go to your father's house. Be an Eved Hashem in your mother's house. Don't go to your father's house and be Eved Avodah Zarah, and then Hashem will bless you. But Hashem does not bless people that are Eved Avodah Zarah. The Ben Ish Chai also says a chiddush. I mean, this you don't see so much in the pasuk. He also says a chiddush here, but this is very noteworthy. I didn't see this in any of the other mefarshim. She advised them to leave her, not because she wanted them to go home. She said, if you come with me to Eretz Yisrael and convert, that's going to be converting in a spirit of bad mazel. Naomi was someone that lost everything. She was afflicted. She lost all her worldly possessions. She lost anything that she held dear to her, her husband, her children. She was bereft of all joy, of all simcha. And she said, if you come back with me, Megaya, so no one's going to want to marry you. Because who's going to want to marry two girls that were the source of all this, you know? Mayav was the source of all the trouble, of the tsar. And great, she brought back two of these Moabite women, and they want to be Megaya. Who's going to want to hook up with them? Who's going to want to marry them? So she counseled them. She gave them advice. She said, you want to be Megaya, but let's break up. And anonymously go approach a Beis Din, and be Megaya, and come into Klal Yisrael with kavod, with respect. and then you'll have a future. This is a tremendous kiddush I saw in Ben Ishkai, that she wasn't pushing them off. She was just saying they shouldn't come back with her. And the final thing is, what chesed was she referring to? What's the chesed that Rus and Orpah did to her sons? What is this tremendous chesed? So the Medrash lists a number of things. Number one is that they paid.
What's
the Medrash? It's a Rus Rabbah. They paid for the funeral. They took care of the son. You know, they made the funeral arrangements and they arranged the burial shrouds for their husbands. The husbands had signed a contract for a large amount of money, a ksuba, which Nami didn't have. She didn't have the wherewithal to pay. Like, where was it going to come from? They were Michael the ksuba. Which, by the way, is another raya that they were Jewish, because non-Jewish women don't have ksubas.
So what's...
What's up, right? So the Medrash says they had a ksuba, and they were Michael it. And not only that...
I don't know if this is mixing to Farshim, but then why would they have to become Gerim if they were Jewish?
Right, that's our problem. That's I'm not answering it, I'm trying to make the problem. I'm trying to create a problem right now.
Oh,
okay. Well, creating problems.
It's going to have to be here from all the way from beginning to end in order to resolve any of these problems. So you're just going to have to be here and never miss. I'm trying to create problems. The Medrash continues that they supported Nami financially. She herself was destitute. And finally, they refused to get remarried. So it was these things that she was referring to as the chesed in return for...
Why is that a chesed if she's getting married?
It's in respect of her sons.
Yeah. What did the soul
the way to respect the children is to marry a relative, as we're going to get to later on. They didn't leave. They stayed.
Which also shows the Jewish, because now Jews don't have to leave them.
Right. Yitan Hashem, Pasuk Tes, Yitan Hashem Lachem. Hashem should give you a mitzana menucha, and you should find menucha. We all know what menucha means. What's menucha?
Rest.
Menucha is comfort, is rest. Menucha is rest.
Peace
and rest. Isha beis Isha, each woman in the house of her husband. So she's telling them to get remarried. Vatishak Lahan, she kissed them. But the Santa Kailan, they lifted up their voices, but Tifkan, and they cried. They should find Menucha. Menucha means rest. Rav Moshe David Vali says that she's being maramis to them. This is a remes. This is a hint. Olam Haba is referred to as Menucha. We say in benching a Rachman Yanchilenu, Yom Shekule Shabbos of Menucha Lachai Elamim. Referring to Gan Eden, Olam Haba is called the ultimate Menucha. So she was being maramas them. So even though she's pushing them away, but if they persist, they could become part of Klal Yisrael and attain the ultimate of Menucha. Isha beis Isha, each woman with her husband. Which husband is Nami referring to? She's referring to the relationship that a husband and a wife have after they both join together in Olam Haba. She says that if you convert, this is Rav Moshe Dalval. Come back to me. I know this is again according to Mahalath that they weren't Megayer. So if you're Megayer, if you come back with me to Eretz Yisrael. So then you'll be reunited with your husbands in the time of Menucha, each woman with her husband. And they cried. It says in the Pasuk, Umitzena. Vav Mem Tzadik Aleph Nun, and you're gonna find Menucha. There's a hey missing at the end. Usually, a word that ends with a pasach nun, a kametz nun, has a hey afterwards. A mitzah and nah, with a hey at the end. Here it's It's written without the hay.
This is
a medrash. It's written without the hay. If it's written without the hay, it could be pronounced umitza'en. If there's a hay at the end, you have no choice but to pronounce it umitza'ena. But if there's no hay, you could pronounce it umitza'en. Mitza'en is singular because she had Ruach HaKodesh, then only one of the two daughters-in-law is going to take her up on this. Although she didn't know which one.
How could you have Ruach HaKodesh if someone's Bechira?
How could the Torah write that Esav shamed the Bechira before Esav was even born? That means it's a different ways of understanding the same words, and there's other pshatim, and okay. The person with his bechira choose to act out one of the pshatim. But yeah, they are limited that they can only act out one of the pshatim in those words, but they have a choice which one of the pshatim.
Okay.
So what's this umitza'en mean?
Umitza'en would be plural. That's both of you are going to find comfort, but since it's spelled without a hay, so then she had like Ruach HaKodesh, only one of them is going to choose.
The
Mitza'en is indicative of the fact that only one of them is going to choose.
Choose what?
To come with her to Gan Eden. To go along the path to Gan Eden. And they both cried. Rav Moshe David Vali tells us they cried for two different reasons. On the outside, there doesn't seem to have been a difference between Riss and Arpa, between the reactions. They both wanted to come, they both were loyal, they both did chesed, and they both cried. But the Moshe David Vali said that was on the outside, that was external. The pneumius, the internalism, was quite different. Riss was crying because she didn't want to be pushed away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Arpa was crying because she's going to miss her mother-in-law.
Who misses their mother-in-law?
Russ and Arpa.
A nice mother-in-law, okay.
I know.
You see which one's going to convert.
We don't know yet. I mean, it's very, very difficult.
But look at their response. Look at the reason why they cried.
Yeah, but that's something that you need the in benefit of the Chachmei Torah to tell you. You can't see it on the outside. But Tamar Nala, and they said to her, so Rus and Orpa both answered to Nami, Ki Itach Nashuv, we're going to go back to you, or with you, La'amech, to your nation. Targum says that they were responding. We're not going back to our nation. We're not going back to our religion. We want to go with you and your God and be Megayer. So the Targum is Shitasai that they weren't Megayer yet. And he said, we're not going back to our religion, we're not going back to our home. We want to go with you, we want to be Megayer.
Oh, they both said that.
They both said that. The Malbim on this pasuk points out the use of the word La'amech. The last word in the pasuk is La'amech. La'amech is to your nation. Why are they calling the Jewish nation your nation? See, because they still hadn't decided that they're going to convert. They still hadn't, even Rus, they still hadn't arrived at the decision, the final decision to convert. So they called it your nation because it's not our nation. It's like the Russia in the Agadah Pesach.
You're a god.
This is what Hashem want. Yeah, you're God. Lachem. Lachem v'leiloi. Lachem v'leiloi. Ilo ha'yashem lai yinigal. So, ameich. Ameich v'lo ameinu. Ameich v'lo ameinu. The Malbim says they still hadn't decided. They still hadn't committed to conversion. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'tamer Nami. Nami said, return my daughters. Now she's calling them daughters. Shavna b'naisa, go back my daughters. Lama silakti me, why should you accompany me? Go with me. Aidli bana b'mei, do I still have children in my stomach? Why you look at Anashim that they would be husbands for you? So she's saying there's no point. There's no point in you coming back with me. There's no other children. She lost her two sons. She lost a pregnancy 10 years ago. It's been 10 years. There's no more children. I don't have any more. So if you have any hopes of rejoining the family, of marrying a surviving brother of one of your husbands, it's not going to happen. The Medrash is a halakhic Medrash on this pasuk. Have you learned Yavamis before? There's something called Eishes Achiv Shalai Haya Bailamai. Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven is married to Rachel. Reuven dies. No children. So Shimon has a mitzvah Yibam, and he marries Rachel. That's a typical Yibam case. Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven dies. I'm sorry.
Reuven was married without a kid.
Reuven is married to Rachel.
Oh no.
No brothers. Reuven is married to Rachel. Reuven dies. No brothers. Reuven's mother gives birth to a kid.
The
kid's name is Shimon.
Before or after they got
after remarried. Reuven died.
After he died.
So now Reuven does have a brother. At the time that Reuven died, he didn't have any brothers. But after he died, he has a brother.
Put that brother
so Shimon should him. Shimon should marry Reuven's widow Rachel and perform Yibam.
Never felt to Yibam, Shimon.
Never felt to Yibam. But you know, now maybe there should be Yibam. Tyrus says that the brother should be Miyabim, and now he has a brother, he should be Miyabim.
But she was already mentored to marry whoever she wants.
And that's until he has a brother. Now that he has a brother, she'll become an
Asa. She would have married in between, that would have been okay.
She would have probably, you know, if there's Yibam, there's Yibam. She was only mutter because of circumstances, and those circumstances changed. So the Torah says there's no Yibam, because the Pasuk of Yibam says, Ki yesh v'shnei achim yachdav. The two brothers have to live together at one time. And Reuven and Shimon never shared the same world, because Reuven died and then Shimon was born. It's called Eishes Achiv Shalaihaya Ba'ilamai. The wife of a brother who was never in the same world. And there's no Yibam. That's why there's no Yibam. The Medrash applies this concept to this pasuk, and the Medrash says that's what Nami was telling Rus and Arpa. He said, if your hope in accompanying me is that there'll be brothers of Machlon and Kilian to perform Yibam with you, first of all, there aren't any brothers. They're all dead. There aren't any brothers. And even if I would have a child, she said, let's say I would have a child. You know, not that it's very probable, but let's say she would have it, because they have to be brothers from the same father, and Nami's husband died 10 years before. But you're saying even theoretically,
wouldn't she be usher? Wouldn't they be usher to marry that child now?
Why? I'm saying, but even theoretically, she was making a statement. Even Yibam is with the brother.
Yeah, but if there's now no Yibam,
then it's usher. So you're saying even theoretically, there would be a child that's born now. I said it's highly improbable. It's impossible. But even if there would be a child born now, it would be Eshet Sakhav Shalaya by Lama, because he'd be born after the death of Machlon and Kilyon. So she says there's no point, because there is no Yibam. That's the Medrash. So the Medrash says she was telling them that there's no Yibam because of Eshet Sakhav Shalaya by Lama. And I have to ask you this question. Eshet Sakhav Shalaya by Lama is that if Reuven is married to someone and then he dies and then his brother is born, if Reuven marries a non-Jewish woman,
no Yibam,
and then he dies and then his brother is born, so would you call that Eshet Sakhav Shalaya by Lama? It's not Eshet Sakhav.
Right.
Even if she converts, it's not Eshet Sakhav. So how could you learn halachas out from it? You're learning a halacha of Yibam out of a pasuk from someone that wasn't even married. So we have contradictions between midrashim. You have one medrash that you're learning out Hilchos Geirus. She's pushing them away three times. You're learning out Hilchos Geirus. You have another medrash that you're learning out Hilchos Yibam. How can you learn out Hilchos Geirus and Hilchos Yibam from the same sefer? From the same women. Either the guy that, you know, this is... I told you, I'm interested in creating problems. This is all going to be on the test. Of course. Lots of good berries. Shaivna b'naisai. Go my daughter. And she calls them her daughters. Which, is, again, is a strange accolade. A strange description for someone that's not never was never married to her sons. She upgraded them from daughters-in-law to daughters. You're not just your mom is my daughter. They're not related to her. There's no relationship whatsoever. Putting aside for a moment the fact that there was a relationship of Isser. Just for a moment. I mean, you can never ignore that fact.
What?
There was a relationship of Isser, a non-Jewish woman with a Jewish man, but they're not her daughters. They're technically not her daughters. They never were her daughters. There's no kedusha, no relationship. Shaivna b'naisa, go back. Lechna, go. Go back to your nation. Kizukati miyos l'ish, I'm too old to get married to a man. Ki amarti, even if I would say, yesh li tikva, even if there was some hope, gam yisi alayla l'ish, even if she'd have a wedding tonight, she'd get married right away. Gam yaladati banam, and even if there'd be children born. In the next pasuk, is he going to wait for them to grow up? I mean, that's
you're never too old to get married, right?
You have to be childbearing age.
Okay, but it says...
She, you have to be a childbearing age.
She's too old to have children, so she's too old to get married.
She is.
Is that like a nice way of saying it?
Yes, she is. Well, the Malbim addresses that. The Malbim addresses it. The Malbim says, it's Chazal. I don't know how this works out with biological science. I really don't care. But the Chazal say that if a woman, even if a woman had children, but if there's like a gap of 10 years, so then her, you know, her system shuts down. Her system shuts down. Again, you know, I'm not trying to work it out with the Nisim, which we see that sometimes you see someone that has a 10-year gap. I mean, actually, in my family, there was a 9-year gap. I'm 9 years younger than the next one above me. So in my family, you know, what happened to us was very nice. It was very easily understandable according to Chazal. And but Chazal said that a woman who goes for 10 years without children, it shuts down. And she doesn't have children. She doesn't conceive. And the Malbim says that this night was the 10th anniversary of her husband's death.
Who says that?
The Malbim. Her husband died. It was his 10th yahrzeit. And obviously, since it was his 10th yahrzeit, that means that she went 10 years without having a husband. Actually, I think I made a mistake. I don't mean 10 years without having children. I meant 10 years without having a husband. That's worse. That's worse.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
Because you have a husband, even if you're not having children, she doesn't give up hope. But 10 years without a husband, then something shuts down inside her. 10 years without a husband.
That would make more sense.
Okay.
Nowadays.
And that was the 10th anniversary, the 10th yahrzeit of Elimelech's death. So she was telling them that even that avenue was closed off.
Who is this?
Who's Nami?
Oh, it's Nami?
Rav Moshe David Vali takes note of certain words that are used in this pasuk. And again, the pasuk shot in the pasuk is that she's sending them home. But there's a subscript. In pasuk Yud, Rus and Nami said, "Ki itach nashuv." We want to go back with you to Eretz Yisrael. Going back has two connotations. Going back means to go back to Mayav. And going back could be to go back to Eretz Yisrael. It really depends on whose perspective. The word going back to Nami means go back to Eretz Yisrael. The word going back to them means going back to Mayav. In pasuk Yud, they said, "Ki itach nashuv." We want to go back with you to Eretz Yisrael. They use the word nashuv, going back, because they're saying, just like you're going back, so we want to be mitzarev to that. We want to join you in going back. Talk nashuv. That's in pasuk Yud. So when Rus and Nami said the word nashuv, they meant to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Tupsukim later in pasuk Yud Beis, she's telling them shayvna. Shayvna means go back. Rav Moshe David Vali says she was being meramez. That you want to go back with me to Eretz Yisrael, shayvna. That possibility exists. You can go back. She used the same word that they used.
In pasuk Yud was to where?
Nashuv. We want to go back with you to Eretz Yisrael.
So in both places, Eretz Yisrael.
Pasuk Yud Beis, when she says shayvna, the pasuk shot in the pasuk, because she's saying, no, don't come with me, go back to Mayav. There's the obvious meaning. The context is definitely that you're telling them not to come with it, Eretz Yisrael. But the fact that you used the same word that they used, and when they used it, they meant Eretz Yisrael. So she purposely chose that word because she wants them to know that there's hope. That they hear her. They hear her saying, don't come with me, Eretz Yisrael, go back to Mayav. But they also hear through a choice of words that if they persist, she's going to let them come. Shayrav Naikhtai Leichma. Pasuk.
Hold on 1 second.
Yud Gimel. Okay, hold on.
What does it say? He said that there's no hay at the end.
That's singular instead of plural. It's singular instead of plural. Umetzena. That's in pasuk.
Lechna also does not.
Lechna also not.
That's good.
Not that I saw, but that's it's definitely noteworthy. Shkayach. Pasuk Yud Gimel. There's actually a lot on this pasuk. There's a lot on all pasukim. Halahen to Saberna. Are you gonna wait? To Saberna means to wait with hope. Are you going to wait with hope? Adashi Igdalo, until they grow up. Yeah, so here she's talking about producing a child who will be a half-brother to Machane Kalim. She said, a full brother, forget about. But she'll get married to another husband, will be a half-brother.
And they could marry that?
That's also a problem. If they're Jewish, if they were Jewish, if Rus and Apa were Jewish, and they were married to Machane Kalim, and then Machane Kalim died, so they are widows of Machane Kalim. And then she has half brothers, and it's also for them to marry.
Yeah, they weren't Jewish, though, so it's fine.
If they weren't Jewish, it's great. But then, what's the point? What's the point in marrying them if they were never part of the family to begin with? Very strange.
Yeah.
Very strange. You know, you can't marry. There's no Yibum by half brother from the same mother.
She didn't have a husband for 10 years.
What?
She didn't have a husband in 10 years.
She didn't have a husband for 10 years.
You have to wait 15, 20 years.
Yeah, Alehenta Sabana, you're going to wait, Adesha Yigdalo, until they grow up. She said, even if tonight she would have relations, because it's the last, this is the 10th year, etc. She can chop a rhyme. She can chop a rhyme. Okay, she'll chop a rhyme. Alehenta, again, are you going to be anchored? from Lashon Aguna. Aguna means anger. The built a yesh leish, and you won't be married to any man. You'll do that. Albinosa, don't, my daughters. Albinosa means don't, my daughters. Ki marli ma'oid, it's very bitter to me. Very bitter. We come from you. Kiyatza biyad Hashem, because the hand of God came out against me. So there's a lot of Ramazim here. Rav Moshe Dovid Vali has a general question on this pasuk: is why is Nami doing this? She's going through impossible scenarios, and we know that they're impossible scenarios. She said, I don't have any sons. Even if I had half a son, it would be Eishes Achav Shalaya Be'elamai. And I'd get married to somebody else tonight and have children and you wait. There has to be a point. Is she giving a halachic dissertation and teaching them the laws of Yibam? This question is very well taken. Rav Moshe Dovid Vali said that she was going on an exploratory
discovery cruise.
Discovery, right? This is called discovery. You ever in lawyers when they're in lawsuits, you know, they'll ask random questions because you never know what's going to turn up on discovery. They call it discovery. He said she was being marbe bedvarim because she didn't trust the motives of Rus and Arpa. Maybe they're just paying lip service. They didn't want to go back. They didn't want to leave her. They didn't want her to leave. So she was elaborating. And she kept on talking and expanding to gauge their responses. So that, it's a general mahalach in this whole pasuk. Al-Banaisai says, don't do this, my daughters. So Rav Moshe Dovid Vali says, there's many ways you could read that phrase. Albinos says, don't do this, my daughters. It sounds like a very affectionate way of parting. I care about you, I love you, don't do it because it's very bitter for me, and I don't want you to come back and share my lot. Don't do this to yourself. Stay here, you're happy, you're healthy and wise. Albinosai. That's the way it is on the surface. But under the surface, Albinosai means, I don't know what your kavana is. I don't know if it's L'shem Shemayim or not. If it's L'shem Shemayim, then you're my daughters. But if it's not L'shem Shemayim, Al-Banosai means you are not my daughters. Al-Banosai means I don't consider you my daughters if it's not L'shem Shemayim. It's an amazing use of words.
She had Ruach HaKodesh, or that one of them is going to come back?
She had Ruach HaKodesh, yeah, but she didn't know which one. And Rav Moshe Dovid Vali says, she finishes off the pasuk, Ki marli ma'oid, it's very bitter for me, mikam, from you. I'll tell you the pasuk pshat first. The pasuk pshat is that I have a much more bitter lot than you do. Don't join with me. You still have hope, you're still young, you can still stay with your people. Marli ma'oid mikam is, I have a much bitterer lot than you do. Don't join with me. That's the pasuk pshat. Rav Moshe Dovid says, Marli ma'oid, it's very bitter for me, mikam, due to you. Because of you. You married my kids, and they died because they married you. Marli ma'oid is very bitter, mikam, due to you. So you see again, the Nami herself.
She's back and forth.
Is back, yeah, she's emphasizing, she's stating that. That they were the source of her son's demise. You can.
She's still helping him out.
And she's calling them her daughters and her daughters and her daughters-in-law. Okay, we could continue, but tomorrow's Monday, so we don't have shiur tomorrow. See? Okay.
Here's. Okay. That's it. Keep it.